2 weeks running, I've diligently feel like I've sought the Lord and began to prepare a message. And right in the middle of the stream, he thinks it's funny, I think, sometimes you just change it. But you know what? I'd rather preach what he wants than what I want any day. Amen. Amen. Having said that, though, I need you to pray for me that I can deliver this message the way God wants it. Listen, how many of you know God can use you wherever you're at?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, God can grow this church out of the dining area at Tommy's. Amen. I believe that, and in fact, we have living proof of that in here today. But I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm just going to go on. I'm just saying that God, if you'll just be obedient and listen for the voice of the Lord, He'll use you at the hardware store, at the gas station, at Tommy's. It doesn't make a difference. Amen. He'll use you. Listen, my message title this morning is "Give Me This Mountain." Give me this mountain. Amen. I believe that there is... You know, how many of you have ever had a mountain? Huh? Let me tell you something. Sometimes them mountains they're big. They get in the way and they're big. But I promise you, if you'll climb with Jesus, he'll get... Oh, man. Lord, I need your touch today. I need your anointing. If for not no other reason, maybe to hold me back just a little bit, Lord, this morning. But God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for people that have gathered together today to glorify you and to be challenged and to be motivated. We want to welcome all that are watching today by way of the internet. God, that something of this message would permeate the World Wide Web and drop a seed into the heart of someone watching somewhere that God, they can do all things through Christ. Lord, let this message today challenge and build up the body of Christ, whether in this house or across the globe, Lord, for your glory and for your honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So in all of life, there's going to be mountains in our path that will seem like they are unpassable. But this morning, I'm here to tell you what you already probably know, and that is that all things are possible through God, here's the catcher, to them that believe. Amen. All things are possible. All things, all, say all. How many of you understand and know what the word all means? It's more than just laundry detergent. All means the complete sum of all. It means all. It means all. So all things are possible through God. Through God to those who believe. So it's a promise from God to you and I as children. And the reality of it all is that it is in fact a covenant promise. Turn with me to the Old Testament this morning, to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua. Joshua. I'd give you a page number, but you wouldn't believe me. Chapter 14. Chapter 14. I hope you brought your Bible because some of you don't really know me that well. And you need to have your Bible. If you're watching by way of the internet today, don't just take for granted what we put on the screen. Get your Bible. Get your Bible and follow along. That's John. Well, I don't want John. I want Joshua. Joshua? Did I say John? Okay. The Old Testament book of Joshua, starting in chapter 14, starting in verse 6. See, this is why you need to bring your own Bible. Because once in a while, there's a miscommunication, and either I get, last Wednesday I messed it up. I did. But we're grateful. We're grateful that we have our own Bibles. All right, here we go. Joshua chapter 4. Man, some quick fingers back there. I was stalling for you. Amen. I was trying to stall. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, "You know the word of the Lord. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive and said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Remember that. This is Caleb. He's 85 years old now. And it's as yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, gave him Hebron, and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading of this word. So one thing that you and I have got to see in Caleb is that Caleb was faithful from the start. Caleb was faithful from the start. As one of the original spies sent in the promised land, clear back in Numbers chapter 13, he saw great cities and he saw giants, yet he knew that God was going to help the people to conquer the land. Listen, church. Sometimes we got to get it in our mind and in our heart that just because it looks bad don't mean God can't take care of it. I mean, I'm trying to help you this morning. I want to build your faith. Just because it looks bad don't mean it's going to end bad. Amen. So let's just look right quick at Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 through 33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies in a land is a land that devours its inhabitants, and the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." Then they saw giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were. Listen, part of the problem that these folks were having was they had a bad view of themselves. You know what? They didn't know who they had believed. They didn't know who God had created them to be. Can I just tell you this morning? God has created you and I to be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Amen. You look at, well, I think about, as soon as I can remember his name. I'm thinking about him, but I can't remember his name. Amen. Gideon. Wow. I heard that. Listen, Gideon was scared out of his mind. He was hiding. Amen. He was hiding. And the Holy Spirit comes to him and said, "Hey, mighty man of valor." He's like, "Hey, obviously you don't know who you're talking to, because my tribe is the lowest tribe and I'm the lowest of that tribe in my family. We're the lowest of the whole, listen, no, you're a mighty man of valor. You have God in your heart. You're a mighty man of valor. Imagine standing before a crowd and loudly voicing an unpopular opinion. That's exactly what's going on here. Imagine standing before a crowd and loudly voicing an unpopular opinion. Caleb was willing to take an unpopular stand to do what God had commanded him to do. And so we have to understand that the way of the cross that Jesus laid out is not going to be a popular topic in a world that we live in today. That cross is not popular. Everybody wants to find another way to make it to heaven because that's bloody and it's painful and it costs us everything, and I don't want to go there. I just want to float down the river like any other dead fish. He's called you and I as His children to go up the stream. To fight against the current. Caleb was willing to take an unpopular stand to do as God had commanded. You and I have to understand the way of the cross that Jesus laid out is not popular. But here's the catcher. It is the truth no matter what. It is the truth no matter what. It doesn't make a difference what CNN says. It's still the truth. It doesn't matter. These are things that you and I have got to take a stand for, regardless of what the opinion of the world is. If God's Word says it, here's a clue. If God's Word says it, I believe it. And that's the end of it. I mean, it's God's Word. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He does not need an editor. So listen, here's three things. To be effective when you go against the crowd, there's a few things that you better do. These are some things that you better have dialed in. You better know it. Number one, you gotta have the facts. Caleb had seen the land for himself. Caleb was a first-hand eyewitness. Caleb knew what he saw. Caleb didn't say, there weren't giants in the land. He never said that. The reality is he had concurred and agreed, yeah, there are. But that doesn't change the fact that God gave us the land. Number two, you and I have got to have the right attitude. How's your attitude today? Number one, you got to have the facts. Number two, you got to have a right attitude. Number three, you've got to begin to state clearly what you believe. You know why we like the truth? Because you don't ever have to remember the truth. Because the truth doesn't ever change. But as soon as you start telling lies and half-truths, you got better remember that stuff. Because it'll backfire on you. So have the facts. Have a right attitude. State clearly what you believe. Caleb said, we can certainly do it. So because of his faith, God promised him a personal inheritance in the land. You see, Caleb was not so much a man. Listen to this. Caleb was not so much a man of great faith as a man of faith in a great God. Now that's the difference. We're called to be men and women of faith, right? But the reality is, my faith is in a great God. He can do all things. He can do anything. He can raise the dead, hello. He can heal the sick. He can give sight to the blind. I mean, we've seen all of this. We understand it to be true. His boldness rested on his understanding of God, not on his confidence in Israel's ability to conquer the land. It had nothing to do with Israel's ability. It has everything to do with faith, with walking by faith. The truth is, he couldn't agree, he could not agree with the majority and what they stood for, because if he did, it would be to disagree with God, and he would have none of that. And church, there comes a point in your life and mine when we've got to make the declaration, listen, I understand what you're saying. It does look bad. But I know what God said. Amen? I know what God said. And when you know what God said, and you stand on what God said, mountains have to move. Hello. So again, in Joshua chapter 14, verses 9 through 12, I want to keep putting this in your ear. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the desert, and in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong as the day when Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now my strength is for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain. Listen, this young man, young man, he's 85, but he's still a young man. Glory. Isn't that right, Mike? Oh, yeah. Now, therefore, I told you I'd get you back. Now, therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and their cities were great and fortified, that it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out from the out as the Lord. Listen, he had it in his mind. He is agreeing in this passage of scripture. He is agreeing that yes, there are giants in the land. He's agreeing, yes, the cities are fortified. They are walled cities. They have all kinds of protection around them. But that don't change what God said. We could say, well, the city, they've given us some flack about this here, but you know what? The city ain't God. I was hoping for a little more right there. Here it is. 45 years later, the land was given to Caleb, and his faith was still unwavering. Anybody prayed for something for 45 years and never lost their faith? I mean, we pray one time, God, we need, and tomorrow it hasn't happened, and we're ticked off at God. Well, I'll tell you one thing, bless God. God is mad at me. He doesn't love me no more. Suck it up, buttercup. Get on your knees and begin to seek God. I mean, be diligent about it. Just because you prayed overnight and it didn't happen in the morning, that don't mean God ain't going to answer it. You just need to get off your timeline and on His timeline. Hello. Although his inherited land still had giants, Caleb knew that the Lord was going to help him conquer them. And you and I, like Caleb, must be faithful to God. Not only, this is where it gets ugly. Not only, it's easy at the start of the walk, isn't it? Not only at the start of the walk with Him, but through your entire life. I remember when we was elk hunting. And we went up into the High Rock Meadows up in the wilderness area and stuff. Man, it was beautiful at first. It was great. I mean, big old 8 foot, 9 foot Doug fir trees. Beautiful, beautiful. And the walking was great. But glory to God, the closer we got to where we wanted to be, it was getting tough. I mean, it was hard. The footing was loose. It was shale rock, and there was nothing to hang on. I mean, we had to scratch and claw for every step, every foot that we got to. I mean, we had to work at it, but glory to God, man. When we got to the top, the view was like out of this world. I mean, you could nearly smell the aroma of the throne room. Come on now. I felt like we was that close to heaven. So at the ripe old age of 85, Caleb is asking for the place that was promised to him 45 years earlier. And he says in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain." Listen, I was born and raised right here in this town. Nobody that knew me in those days would ever thought that I would be in a pulpit, but here I am. Yep. In fact, most of you never thought I was going to live to be this old. But here I am, and now we're claiming this city for the glory of God. Amen. We are claiming and decreeing and declaring and doing all that we can. Caleb had boldness to receive his inheritance because he had wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. We must never allow ourselves to rest on our past accomplishments or reputation. I'll let that sink in just for a minute. Because too many times we want to live off of what we did in the past. What we did in the past ain't doing us any good right now. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. And so we've got to walk in new mercy every day. We can't rely on our past accomplishment or our past reputation. Listen, my past reputation isn't worth bringing up. So during the wilderness journey, all the first generation that came out of Israel, out of Egypt died, except Caleb and Joshua. You know why? Because they did not trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, church, we have got to put our faith and our trust in God without wavering. So these men, along with the 10 other spies, brought back reports concerning the land. The question is this: could Israel conquer the land? Could Israel conquer the land? Caleb and Joshua were certain that with God's help, Israel would be victorious in taking the land. The other 10 spies, all they saw was the giants in the land, and they wanted to go back where? To Egypt. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go, you said it, they wanted to go back into slavery. Yes, they did. They wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to making bricks in the brickyard. They wanted to go back to the lash of the taskmasters. They wanted to go back to the chains that bound them and the shackles. They wanted to go back to groaning under the burden. You know why? Because there's just something about the certainty of the normal. There is just something about the certainty of the normal. You know what normal is? It's a setting on your dryer. Amen? That's all it is. But we get, listen, and my wife will tell you that I am not one that likes change. I do not like change. I like things just the way they are. I know where everything is. I want it just this way. But you know what? Every once in a while we need to change some things up. And the children of Israel were more than willing to go back to a life of slavery because you know what? They knew what was coming. We see all across the world, the news, the people that have been repeat offenders. Listen, if I would ever have gone back to jail, I have a high level of certainty that I would never want to go back to jail again, ever. Amen? But there are people that have been long-term in jail. They come out, they do something to get put back in jail. You know why? Because they got 3 squares and a roof over their head. I got no responsibility. I'm just, you know. Well, what? That's what these people were like. There was just something about the certainty of the normal. Even if the certainty is of slavery, at least they knew what was coming. And sometimes it's just easier to walk in the now and the fact rather than to have to walk in the unknown by faith. Listen, this is what it says in Hebrews 11:6, and this is where I start getting excited. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There's something to diligently seeking the Lord. You can't just sit on the back of your lap and go, oh God, where are you? That ain't seeking Him. Seeking Him is climbing up to the top of high rock meadows. Seeking Him is walking down to the river in the dense forest that we have around. Seeking is going outside of your comfort zone, taking a few risks. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62? Now having put His hand to the plow, no man having put His hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What's in your past needs to stay in the past. You can't go back and change it. You can't go back and fix it. You need to learn from your mistake and then move forward. Don't be looking back. The picture of a person that put his hand to the plow and looking back can be compared to Elijah's call on Elisha in 1 Kings. Now, this guy was serious. This guy was dedicated. Listen to what he did in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 21. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Now, let me paint the picture for you here right quick. It wasn't like that he had 12 yokes of oxen that was tied to his plow that he was plowing. That wasn't like, how many of you have watched the news or National Geographic and you see the wheat fields of Kansas and Iowa and back in the Midwest where the fields are just ginormous and they've got like 10 or 12 different tractors and they're all staggered off to the side and they are mowing stuff down. That's what was going on. There was 12 teams, 12 yokes of oxen that were in this field and they were plowing, and Elisha was the 12th one. Elisha was the last guy, and so here he is, and Elijah passes by him. He throws his mantle on him, just throws it on him, just flips his mantle down onto Elisha, let's see, where am I even at? Oh yeah. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you? What have I done to you?" So Elisha turns back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now, let me just tell you something. Let me just break this down for you right quick. When you kill what you're using for your income, when you kill your cows and burn up all your farm equipment to make an offering for the Lord, you're done. There is something of severity and seriousness in that act of saying, "Hey, I'm putting all of this behind me." I mean, he killed his oxen. Can you imagine the value and the worth that those oxen had? He killed them, built a fire with the plow. Do you understand? It ain't like they could just go out here to Farmer's Surplus out there and buy another plow. It took something to make that thing. They weren't building them in Des Moines, Iowa in those days. I don't know if you know that or not. This young man is making a statement. Elisha was called to be a prophet right in the middle of plowing his field. And the reality is he never looked back. He never looked back. You know why? Because his life of chasing and following after God and after Elijah, he saw some stuff. When we begin to see the hand of God moving, when folks begin to see our building beginning to be erected out there and this place being torn down and all that I believe God has in store, people are going to come and find out what in the world's going on. We're going to have a lot of people. We're going to have more. We got a lot of people this morning, but we're going to have a lot more than that. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus. He knew because of his level of faith, when Elijah threw the mantle on him, something happened. How many of you know that? When the mantle is laid on you, when the anointing of God hits you, something changes. That's what happened in my life. I didn't have a clue what was going on. Elijah was called to be a prophet in the middle of his work. He never looked back. In fact, he slaughtered the oxen so there would be no temptation to return. Elijah then moves wholeheartedly into the ministry to which he had been called. Jesus explained that service in the kingdom of God was such a vital importance that his followers must make it their top priority. Oh Lord. You ever heard the expression, having your feet held to the fire? Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Jesus said that they must step out in faith and serve Him without looking back. We have to step out in faith and not look back. I guess I just will go on record. At some point, and I'm not sure what the point, I know what the point is, I don't know when the point is, that I'm going to have to begin to make a log truck not my provider. I'll do the preaching, Jay. But you're right. Hard as it is to hear, it's right. At some point, I'm going to have to burn the oxen. We must step out in faith to serve Him without looking back. God called Israel to go into the land of Canaan, and Caleb believed that it could be done. During these 40 years, I suppose that often someone would say to Caleb, "Oh, brother Caleb, isn't it terrible out here in the wilderness? Isn't it terrible? I mean, it's hot. It's like 118 degrees today." And Caleb would just say, "Really? I hadn't noticed. I guess it is pretty warm, but I was thinking about those grapes back in the promised land. I remember seeing those. I was thinking about the city of Hebron. Our father Abraham really liked that place, and I like it too. And that's where I'm going. I'm going back to that place. Y'all all are going to die right here in the wilderness, but I'm going on." Caleb, even in the wilderness, could think of the future. He had great hope, and it's what kept him young. He was moving forward. Listen, just because you're 85 years old don't mean you're old. Yeah, it's okay. If this place burns down, that's going to be a good fire. Listen, when God calls us, maybe that's why He gave me this message this morning, because when He calls us, you know, it's pretty easy for me. Some people, it's hard. It's pretty easy for me to just bounce out of bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, go to work. It's just what I do. I've been doing it my whole life. It's just the way it is. But to put that all aside and say, "Okay, God, I'm giving You all my time." That's different. That's a stretch. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm pretty comfortable. My wife, I'm thinking she's pretty comfortable in what we have and the income. And I mean, it ain't like we're filthy rich, but we ain't groveling either. God is our provider. You know why? Because we put Him first. But, you know, He likes to... How many of you know that a rubber band laying on a table ain't no good? You ever notice that? There's nothing. A rubber band just laying there is no good. The rubber band never becomes effective until it becomes stretched. I'll just move on. Caleb had a great hope. It's what kept him young. Those 45 years in the wilderness killed off all the rest of the crowd, but they didn't, but they didn't do a thing to take him, to him rather, but to make him healthy. They grew old, he grew young. The giants in the promised land made the others tremble. They thought of themselves as grasshoppers, but Caleb thought of God. There was a freedom from fear in the heart of this man. When you know who you belong to, when you know who you're walking with, you can face any giant that's out there. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep me against that day. That's His word, church. Caleb thought about God. Martin Luther said, one with God is a majority. One with God is a majority. God is bigger than any giant. God wants us to actively pursue what He wants us to have. We should have the boldness to say, God, give me my mountain when it comes to pursuing the vision that God has given us for our lives. Remember what the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Caleb had the right attitude, and as he grew older, he became more dynamic. The older he just got more and more and more dynamic for the things of God. The people of the world often become depressed as they age. But the people of God should become more dynamic and spiritually aggressive for the things of God. Caleb's wish proved that it was in his heart to follow the Lord wholly, and that he had the strength and the will to fight even at 85 years old. But here's the other thing. It also showed all of Israel and the others in every generation that a true Israelite could be the master of the situation and glorify God in the very thing that caused the nation's defeat. And it was only fitting then that the man who reported to Israel that they were well able to overcome the giants should be the one to demonstrate in his own, this in his own inheritance. Caleb and Joshua were the only two of the 12 spies that went in and said, yeah, we can take this land. Everybody else saw themselves as a grasshopper. Who told them they was a grasshopper? They misjudged themselves. Some of you, let me just make sure I cover everybody so nobody thinks I'm pointing at them. Some of you are saying this morning, I'm too old. Some of you might be saying, I'm too young. Some of you might be saying today, I'm not as educated as you are, Pastor. Well, then you obviously don't know my history. Because I thought it was going to be real smart because I didn't graduate high school, and so I thought I'd go back and get my transcripts and do my GED thing, and I'll tell you what, it ain't no wonder I quit school. I'd still be a senior in high school still trying to gather enough credits to pass. I'm not kidding you. It was bad. 1.2 something was my GPH. Now that's something to brag about. But you know why I tell you that? What? You just sit there. Why do I even say that? Because it's really an embarrassment to me in some ways, but in another ways, it speaks very loudly that if God calls you, God will use you and God will equip you. Amen? I did take some college courses, and I paid attention.
Thank you.
And graduated on the honor roll in college. You know why? Because God was in control. So it's only fitting that the man who had reported to Israel that they were well ill, he didn't deny that there were giants in the land. I'm trying to convey this to you this morning, that yes, there's going to be giants in your land. And yes, they might look scary, but I'm telling you, God's bigger than that giant.
Amen.
There's a giant, you can't see him, but I can out there in that space where our church is going to be, that's saying, you know what, this will always be just gravel. But something inside of me is saying that ain't true. Because if we have to build it 50 feet tall and put an elevator in, we're having church.
Amen.
It's interesting to how the 10 spies identified Canaan. Now listen to this. Listen to this and don't get ahead of me. It's interesting how the ten spies, not the two, the ten, how they identified Canaan as the land to which you sent us. Okay? They identified Canaan as the land to which you sent us in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 27, and the land through which we have gone in verse 32. But they failed to say, but what they didn't say was the land the Lord our God is giving us. Do you see the difference there? The land which you sent us to, the land to which we have gone, so we were sent there, we went through it, but they failed to make the declaration. And church, there comes a point in a time in your life and my life where we've got to begin to declare some things that maybe be not as though they were. So what I'm saying is that some way, somehow, some of us have got to say, hey, thank God that there's a brand new building coming right out there. You can see the thermometer over there. It's climbing and it's climbing and it's climbing, and we're grateful for that. But you know what? We need to say thank God that the budget is met for this building. We need to thank you, God, that we have met the budget. It's exciting to watch it go up, but Lord, it's not to the top yet, but that doesn't matter. We're thanking you in advance because it is the land that the Lord God is giving us. Because these 10 men were walking by sight. They didn't really believe God's promise. That's why I keep telling you, it's not by our works, but by our faith. Not by sight, but by my spirit. I knew I'd get it out. So they looked at the people of the land. They saw giants. They looked at the Canaanite cities. They saw high walls. They saw locked gates. They looked at themselves. They saw grasshoppers. If they only had looked by faith to God, they would have seen the one who was able to conquer every enemy and who sees the nations of the world as grasshoppers. If only they would look by faith. We're not able is the cry of unbelief in Numbers 13 and 31. We are not able, but our God is able is the affirmation of faith in Philippians 4 and 13. So to the unbelieving world, it is unreasonable for anybody to trust a God that they've never seen or heard. But we have all the evidence that we need to convince us that God is dependable and that has the power to accomplish what He said He was doing. I mean, you and I are here living proof of that, church. Well, I thought we were. To the unbelieving world, they're like, why are you guys even in there today? Because we believe in God. Our trust, our faith, our hope is that, listen, I'd rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. What He promises, according to Romans 4 and 21, what He promises, He is able to perform. Israel had seen what the Lord did to the Egyptians and to the Amalekites, and they had every assurance that He would never fail His people. Let me assure you of this morning, that the Lord will never fail you. The Lord will never fail you. You might fail Him. And boy, have I. But can I just tell you, there's forgiveness for that. There's forgiveness for that. Now, I'll tell you, the devil will come to you and say, you know what, you screwed that thing up so bad, there is no hope for you. You are a liar, devil. Get behind me. Get behind me. Exactly. Church, you have to begin to believe in your heart that God can do all things. That includes forgiving all of us of all of our sins, and that He will make a way where there seems to be no way. Can I tell you something? You're going to blow it. If you're anything like this pastor, you're going to blow it. You're going to mess it up. And when you do, if you're smart, you're going to ask God to forgive you. And when you do, if you're serious, the enemy's going to come and tell you that that's just a bunch of malarkey. It's just a bunch of hype. You've blown it too bad, too many times. God doesn't forgive you. And I just have to caution you and tell you, you just tell the devil, listen, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says that He's known me from before the foundation of the earth. The Bible says He knows my end from the beginning. The Bible says He knows the number of hairs on my head, which is pretty easy. Can I say all that to say this? If that's true, and we know it is, then God's seen every time you've blown it already. And when He shed His blood for you and I on that cross, He cleansed us. Aren't you glad for that today? Aren't you glad that He said, I'll remember your sin no more forever? Aren't you glad today that He said, I'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west? Aren't you glad today that He said, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved? Aren't you glad today that He said that if you confess me, I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Aren't you glad that He said, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to prepare a place for you? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father God, I've said all that You've asked me to say. I've laid it out as clear as I possibly know how. Father God, I'm asking You today by Your Holy Spirit to begin to provoke hearts in this place. God, to begin to stir our hearts. God, to bring us to a place of truth. The devil don't like me. I'm going to say it anyway. The Lord is telling us today that if we would just confess and believe, regardless of what the enemy would say, you can be saved. That thing that you're going through right now, it might be big and it might be bad and it might look like a giant and you might think of yourself as a grasshopper. But my God is bigger. My Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. My Bible puts a challenge to you and I. And that is that we must confess. That's not standing before the congregation and blabbing out everything you've ever done. Confession is saying, God, I recognize I need a Savior. Believing is in your heart is where it all birthed from. And today, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you're facing tomorrow, my God is bigger than all of that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, people are praying. If you're in this room today, if you're in the sound of my voice, if you're watching by way of the internet today, and something that I've said, the Holy Spirit has provoked you or prompted you, to confess, to accept Jesus, then listen, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand. If you need Jesus in your life, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, right? Just put it up. Because God wants to touch you. God wants to set you free. God wants to deliver you from your problems. Really, He wants to deliver you from hell. You're going to walk probably still through some problems. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But the most important thing, church, is that we make heaven our home. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." You are whosoever. I'm whosoever. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus." Lord, we love You. Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for everybody that's watching by way of the internet today. And I pray if somebody out there raised their hand and felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I pray You just leave us a message there on Facebook Messenger or on Facebook or whatever. Let us know that God done something in you today. Father, we love You. We thank You for each person here. God, I pray nobody leaves today the same way that they came in, but God, that You would change us, each one, by Your Spirit. Challenge us to be like Caleb, even at 85 years old, willing to go and fight, willing to make some declarations, willing to climb the mountain and say, "God, give me my mountain." God, I thank You for each one. Thank You for Your goodness. I pray, God, You'd continue to let revival break loose right here in our town, right here in our city. Father, I thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for joining us by way of the internet. We'll see you Wednesday.